First, I want to thank you all for being here this morning. It's been a very stressful, nerve-wracking road, so thank you. And I want to preface this message, of course, by saying thanks to Brian Pace, my parents, Jeanette and Star Muir, Michelle, of course, for doing the music this morning, Michaela Harshman, even though she couldn't be here, and of course, Reverend Madeline. I've asked a lot of people a lot of questions and received a lot of guidance, so thank you all. And finally, of course, I want to thank Miss Becky Miller for not only believing in me, but also for being a great role model for my entire life. Okay. So I've thought a lot about this service, mostly because it really came back to bite me in the butt. Don't get me wrong, I love the phrase, make good choices, but as preparing for this service has helped me realize, making good choices comes with a lot of pressure. And to be frank, who can even say what a good choice really is? In the beginning, we face an infinite number of possibilities for our life, where we will go, who we will meet, what we will do. While it may at times be overwhelming, the vastness of these dreams is what makes them so beautiful. What if we pick the wrong dream? What if we pick a dream and then we fail? But then again, what if we succeed? The risk here lies in the pick or the choice, and all of those famous quotes about how we should live our lives, how we should make those choices, are supposed to provide some guidance. Make this choice over that because you'll be a good person. I mean, don't even get me started on being a good person. But narrowing, limiting ourselves through choice is tough. Those infinite dreams narrow into reality, and reality can be harsh. Growing up, making adult decisions. I'm sure you all know this, but I'm going to be honest with you and say that being an adult doesn't seem to make it any easier. Before she passed away, my grandmother on my father's side, Grandma Eve, asked me about what I wanted to do with my education. I told her that I was having trouble picking a major because I wanted to do all of them, and I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do with my life. She looked me right in the eye and said, "Don't let them make you choose." Now, of course, I had to graduate with some sort of major. But realizing that I could do something without necessarily signing my life away to do one thing was new to me. Growing up, we are constantly asked what we want to be. And if you're someone like me, you sometimes know and you sometimes don't. All right, so maybe when thinking about our dreams and the ways that we choose to live our lives, we don't have to give up everything. But what about those decisions where we do? What about the decisions where there is a good and a bad choice? What do we do? Well, I will be the first to tell you that I have absolutely no idea what the right answer is. I, nor anyone else, will be able to make any sort of decision for you. And this is what I've been working towards the entire service. With a head full of brains and your shoes full of feet, you're too smart to go down any not-so-good street. But even the over-read words of Dr. Seuss don't really help. Why? Well, most of the bad choices growing up involved parents. We make a lot of choices based on the words of parental authority. Don't drink. Don't do drugs. And yet, if we make the decision to do these things, we've already made a bad choice, automatically. I'm absolutely not advocating, of course, for drinking or doing drugs. But I'm suggesting that with these decisions, and most any decision, our community or the society that we live in will have something to say about it. An objectively good choice means making a choice that everyone else, possibly including yourself, will recognize as the good choice. The biggest example I can come up with seems like my entire life. Graduate high school, go to college, graduate college, meet someone, get engaged, don't let addiction get to you, be involved in church. My whole life feels like I've been making objectively good choices. But are those what I wanted? Were those best for me? For the most part, I think so. But I didn't really learn how to take risks, at least not while I was at home. I applied and auditioned for things that I thought I would get. I padded my resume with work at George Mason, where my parents work. I am thankful for every opportunity, and I recognize my privilege in all of those parts of my life. I am so fortunate to have these opportunities and have the ability to do all these things, but now I'm scared. I've been making these objectively good choices, And now I have to learn what's good for me, and not necessarily everyone else. This doesn't make the objectively good choice better or worse. It just means that we need balance, as with everything, between objective and subjective. And it's hard. It's hard not to think about other people while you're making tough decisions. I've been working as an intern for a small immigration law firm in Fairfax. One of the attorneys gave us these books called Win Your Case by Jerry Spence. In one line, Spence says, "We are prone to cultivate as our own the visions that others plant in us." It's hard to know if the decision you're making is really the best for who you are. Objectively good choices can put you on a great path, but knowing whether that path is best for you is another tough choice you're going to have to make. Spence's theory is based on the idea that in order to be a good trial lawyer, you have to be genuine, and that, in order to be genuine, you must know yourself. So subjective, based on or influenced by personal feelings, tastes, or opinions. Thanks, Google. These are choices where you know what the decision is for you. You feel it. When I was in high school, I had a teacher named, and I'm not making this up, Mr. Sparkman. He taught math, and all of his students, including myself, adored him. On Dynamic Duo Day, my friend Catherine and I dressed as Captain Kirk and Spock. And if you know my father, who wears pointed Vulcan ears for every Halloween, then you likely know who I was dressed as. The point being, I went to Mr. Sparkman's room before doing the announcements. I was walking my Captain Kirk to her first period, and I asked him if maybe, instead of saying make good choices for the announcements, if I should do live long and prosper. I mentioned this, mostly joking, but he turned to me and said, "You have to do this. You have to do this for all of the nerds out there." And I did. Live long and prosper, Stonewall. Just so we're clear, no one really listened to the morning announcements. But I didn't care. It wasn't about whether people listened, it was about doing what felt right. I've learned that I'm the kind of person who values doing the things that I think, maybe if they don't make a difference for someone else, they at least make some small difference for me. Subjective good choices are when you know what you want to do, and even if society tells you it might not be the best, you feel pulled to do it. This might include running off and getting married, leaving your family to follow your dream career, or going to a frat party. These aren't necessarily bad choices, but to many of us, they are bad or selfish. There are concerns related to each decision. However, if we don't permit ourselves to exit the safety net of objectively good choices, we don't always learn what we wish we had, and we don't always do the things that we now regret not doing. You're on your own, and you know what you know, and you are the person who will decide where to go. The day after my family had a life service for Grandma B, the grandmother on my mom's side, my parents informed my brother and I that Grandma Eve, from earlier, had cancer. The type of cancer that she wouldn't be recovering from. To be losing my final grandparent so close to another. These incredible women who had taught me so much. I was shaken and almost broken. At the time, I needed to leave. I love my family more than anything, but I couldn't do it. I couldn't be around sadness, and even though I knew my family needed me, I had to go. Luckily, during this same period of time, I had been speaking on the phone to a man who had been very concerned about my well-being. The same man who stayed with me both the night we learned about Grandma B and the night we learned about Grandma Eve. That particular day, he asked me if there was anything he could do, and then asked if I wanted to come visit him. The next day, I got on a train, and January 11th of this year, that man, Brandon, and I got engaged. While at the time I felt selfish and like I was potentially getting into a risky situation, I had to keep myself whole rather than broken. I decided where to go. The point of that anecdote is a reminder that even when we make decisions that we know will be tough on the ones that we care about, the human spirit will rise. Our actions, our choices will always have consequences, but it is humanity's resiliency that makes it possible for us to make objectively unfavorable choices. We can't be afraid of making the wrong choice, because then we will spend too much time worrying and not enough time being present. There are some, down the road between hither and yon, that can scare you so much you won't want to go on. But on you will go, though the weather be foul. On you will go, though your enemies prowl. On and on you will hike. And I know you'll hike far and face up to your problems, whatever they are. Even when those around us make choices that may negatively affect or influence our own, we must believe that at some point, things will be okay. Through love and compassion, we can begin to make sense of the choices we may not agree with, allowing for an introspection of our own. We have the ability to find our own truth in choosing, and in doing so, we find the little light that we are then able to shine. To close, I will share one last, very short and slightly adapted quote from my grandma Eve. We are in charge of the light. Thank you.